Listen, I need to speak to a copper first, because I think I've killed someone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of It's Crime Time. On this episode, I discuss the case of David Hilder and David Guy, two men who had a strained friendship for many years until it ended in murder, and the case was solved by a few tiny cat hairs. All right, everyone, it's crime time. David Hilder, a 47-year-old man who lived in a flat on Richmond Road, South Sea, England, which is considered to be a resort town, by the way, often collected scrap metal and rode a bicycle with a butcher's box affixed to the handlebars. So he rode around with this butcher's box affixed to the handlebars, and he would pick up scrap metal, put it in the box, and then he would bicycle it basically to wherever he could take the scrap to, you know, be sold and get money. And this is basically what I found he did for a living. And not much is really mentioned about his past except for a couple of details, like how he made a living with the scrap and that he has an IQ of 63, a learning disability, and he suffered from pretty severe depression. He was often known as Big Dave, and he had a longtime friend named David Guy, who was 30 years old and was often called Little Dave. I'm going to refer to them by their last names in this episode because, of course, they have the same first name. So I'm going to refer to David Hilder as Hilder and David Guy as Guy. Hilder had previously been married to a woman named Marilyn, according to some online stories of those who knew him and an article I found. But I was unable to confirm some of the information about him and his marriage, as it's just kind of stories that were posted by those online on comment boards. But Marilyn did eventually pass away, and then Hilder lived alone in his flat with his cat Tinker. Now, Guy was apparently a heavy drinker, but an all-around nice guy to be around until he got to drinking. And I found this in an article, and then on some comment boards, there were people who say they knew him and they did confirm that he was a drinker. And when he drank, he got relatively mean, belligerent, and things of that nature. So Guy lived in a camper van near Hilder's flat, and he was single as well. He had several failed relationships in the past, but as far as I could find, no marriages. And I would assume that his alcoholism had something to do with his failed relationships. But there are stories that Guy would get drunk and he would call Hilder and mock him for his wife passing away. And that's kind of weird to me because, you know, they're supposed to be friends. And this hasn't exactly been confirmed either. I did find some articles about it that made mention of it, and I don't understand why they, you know, remain friends. Well, I do understand it partially, but I think that I would just be moving on and finding a friend that's, you know, better. But Guy would often take showers in Hilder's flat, and he would get food from Hilder in return for him taking care of Hilder's cat Tinker while he was away. So I think the reason that they remain friends is because they figured this was kind of a mutually beneficial relationship where Guy would get showers and food and Hilder would get his cat watched and his flat taken care of when he was away. But the only problem is that Hilder and Guy's friendship turned violent when Hilder would come home to see that his house was a mess and apparently his cat was not properly taken care of. So Hilder would become really angry and he would beat Guy up. But for some reason, they remained friends even when the friendship turned violent. And like I said, it's because it's mutually beneficial, but I don't see any benefit. I mean, if his cat wasn't being taken care of, then why don't just find someone else? But for whatever reason, they remain friends. So on July 3rd of 2012, a group of students on vacation in South Sea at Portsmouth Beach discovered something wrapped in a pink shower curtain on the rocks of the beach. Now, I did mention that this was a resort town. It's a popular spot for vacationers. So some students are vacationing here. And they see this pink shower curtain on the rocks of the beach, and they discovered a dismembered torso wrapped in trash bags, or bin liners, as they called them. And then, of course, the shower curtain was around the bin liners and the torso. I was kind of confused by this because I saw some sources say that the torso was stuffed in a plastic bin, but I do not believe that's the case. I believe that it was just wrapped in trash bags and then wrapped in a shower curtain and tossed into the rocks. 3 days later, police found a pair of legs and a pelvis on another location on the beach, and the body was later identified as 30-year-old David Guy. A pathologist was unable to determine the exact cause of death, but stated that Guy endured a violent and sustained assault sometime between June 30th and July 3rd of 2012. On July 5th, Hilder arrived in Sussex and went to Shoreham Police Station. The station had been closed, so he used a police-free phone call to call the operators, and I'm not sure if he called, well, I guess in England it would be 999, I believe, and, you know, spoke to the operators that way, or if maybe there was a number to the station he could call and talk to operators. But after giving the operator his name and his address, he stated, quote, "I would like to speak to someone. I think I've done something serious. This morning I found a lot of empty Nurofen wrappers in my pocket," end quote. So I had to look up what Nurofen was. It's actually a brand of pain relievers in Britain that contains ibuprofen. So, you know, in the United States, we have Excedrin, Aleves, Tylenol, things of that nature. Well, this is just another brand of pain relievers that contain ibuprofen. So he found a bunch of wrappers of those in his pocket that were empty. Hilder was asked if he needed an ambulance, and he responded with, quote, "I need to speak to a copper first. I think I've killed someone," end quote. So then PC Stephen Miles met Hilder at the station. Hilder had been disheveled looking and dirty, and he seemed really confused. When Miles asked Hilder what happened, he replied, quote, "I do not know. I'm not sure what I have done," end quote. Hilder said he was having these flashbacks about what he had done, and he told Miles that if he has done what he thought he had done, then he was going to kill himself. But when Miles asked him, well, what do you think you did? Hilder just kept replying with, he didn't know. So I don't know if he was afraid to kind of admit what kind of flashbacks he was having because they were gruesome, or if he was just so confused that he didn't know. Since Hilder was confused and he wasn't really making sense, he was taken to a hospital after telling Miles that he thought it must have all been in his head, that he just didn't do this, and that he may have taken an overdose of the Nurofen. So meanwhile, Portsmouth Constabulary checked Hilder's flat, but they say they found nothing suspicious. After Hilder was released from the hospital, he was put back on a train and taken back to Portsmouth. So I heard that he was taken back to the police station, and then I heard that he was taken back to his flat. So I'm not quite exactly sure on that, but I do know that he was put on a train from the hospital. Further investigation occurred into Hilder and Guy's friendship, where it was determined that Hilder may have gotten angry over Guy's new relationship and that he was never home to take care of Hilder's cat and his home. So he got angry and murdered him. So I'm not sure what kind of relationship Guy had had, whether he was dating somebody new or it was just a friend he was hanging out with, you know, too much. But either way, it was investigated, and apparently Hilder was angry because Guy wasn't spending time in the flat and taking care of his cat like he was supposed to be. He was out doing things, you know, with his friend. Police officers arrested Hilder on July 8th of 2012 for killing and dismembering Guy, but at this point, he denied all of these charges. Exactly 1 year after Guy's torso and legs were found on the beach, Hilder's trial got underway in Winchester Crown Court on July 3rd of 2013. Hilder was being tried for murder and the lesser charge of manslaughter. When addressing the court, Nigel Lickley of the Crown Prosecution Service called the crime painstaking and deliberate. Hilder had murdered Guy, dismembered him, and then used his bicycle with the butcher box to transport the remains to the beach. And that would have been painstaking and deliberate because the butcher's box can't be, you know, that large to fit on the handlebars of his bicycle. So he would have had to have cut him up, put separate parts in the box, and taken separate trips to drop them off at, you know, locations on the beach. So it would have taken a while for him to, you know, enact this plan. Hilder had murdered Guy, and when he dismembered him, the only parts that were ever found were the pelvis and the legs and the torso. So his head was never found. His arms were never found. Some internal organs and genitals were never found. And when I was looking at those comment boards online, I'm, like I said, not 100% sure how true this is, but somebody had stated that Hilder would get mad and he would kind of vent to her that he wanted to kill Guy and that he was going to cut his genitals off. And then of course it happened and they were never found. So It's kind of eerie that he had alluded to wanting to do this for a long period of time before he did it. Lickley said of the crime also, quote, it took time, it took clarity of thought, and it took planning. End quote. It was noted that the precise relationship between the two men would never be known, but the violence in their friendship was discussed. PC Miles took the stand to describe the night that Hilder showed up at the police station acting confused and he was all disheveled and things of that nature. Even though detectives had previously stated that they found nothing suspicious in the flat, it has been noted that Guy's blood was found in the flat. There were also cat hairs on the curtain that Guy's body was wrapped in that later were determined to be a match to Tinker's hairs. Hilder's cat, Tinker. Fibers from this curtain were also found in the flat. This is where it gets interesting, because the cat hairs are what everyone says solved the case. 8 cat hairs were found on the shower curtain. Constables sent the cat hairs to California for analysis of the mitochondrial DNA, which is the DNA that's passed down from a mama cat to her kittens. Hilder's cat hairs were also sent to be analyzed. Tinker's hairs did not match any cat DNA in the United States. The prosecutors needed to show how close of a match Tinker's hairs were to the hairs found on the curtain, so they brought an expert to the stand, John Whetton, who was a University of Leicester geneticist who had led the cat DNA project by creating a database of cat DNA and previously one for dogs to help solve crimes. He specifically created the cat database for this case and hoped it could be completed and used someday to solve crimes. The Hampshire Constabulary paid for a series of blood tests of blood samples for British cats conducted by PhD student Barbara Ottolini with the cooperation of vets across the country. 152 cats were tested and only 3 samples came back with mitochondrial DNA match to the hairs found on the curtain. This confirmed that particular genetic signature was uncommon. When Tinker's hairs were compared to the hairs on the curtain, there was a 1 in 100 chance that the death scene hairs had not come from Tinker. John Whetton, the geneticist, stated, quote, this is the first time cat DNA has been used in a criminal trial in the UK. This could be a real boon for forensic science, as the 10 million cats in the UK are unwittingly tagging the clothes and furnishings in more than a quarter of households. Animal DNA offers a way of linking people to places and items through transfer of their pet's hairs, end quote. David Hilder's attorney hadn't really had much to work off of to kind of protect him or, you know, to get him off of the hook for this case, but he had brought up Hilder's 63 IQ, learning disability, and his severe depression. Hilder was cleared of murder, but convicted of manslaughter and received a life with a minimum of 12 years in prison sentence. So I'm not sure how he got manslaughter, because he deliberately killed him and chopped him up. But I'm going to say that he probably got manslaughter due to the confusion and the way he was acting, and maybe he really just was confused and didn't even realize what he had done until afterwards. I'm not exactly sure, but he got a minimum of 12 years. Justice David Bean said the exact circumstances of the murder may never be known, but he added, quote, it seems most likely that the two of you quarreled, you had a sudden loss of self-control and stabbed him through the chest with a sharp blade, causing him to die almost instantly. Afterwards, you mutilated and cut up his body, end quote. He appealed his sentence in 2014, but his sentence was upheld because he was a danger to the public. If he would have been approved, it would have automatically meant he served half of his sentence in what is known as a conventional term. So he would have gotten 6 years minimum instead of 12. Lord Justice Fulford said the life sentence was necessary and added, quote, he poses a substantial risk of causing serious harm to others whenever he is depressed and something happens that angers him, thereby triggering an extremely violent reaction. This is not a case where circumstances in which this happened will never be repeated. At present, the risk from the appellant could potentially arise whenever there is a convergence of depression and such a trigger, end quote. So he's basically saying that how does he know that this isn't going to happen again whenever he's depressed and gets angry at the time and, you know, he just decides to kill someone. So he's saying that it's unavoidable. There'll never be a time in Hilder's life where he doesn't get depressed and angry, you know, again. After the verdict, Guy's father stated, quote, in time, I will come to terms with my loss, but it's the cutting up of my son's body that I cannot accept and never will, end quote. All right, everyone, that concludes this episode. I know this may be a short episode again as well, but I like to research cases I find to be interesting or ones I've never heard of, and I hadn't heard of this one, so I wanted to research it. I've kind of been on a kick lately of kind of researching cases outside of the United States that I hadn't heard of. So I really just wanted to look into this, and there wasn't a whole lot of information out there at all to go on. If you enjoyed, please feel free to subscribe on whatever platform you get your podcast. preferably on Spotify, because that's where I have been hosting the most and trying to get the follower count up. But whatever platform you get your podcast is totally fine, and leave a rating and review if you would like to. Thank you for listening, and until next time.